On July 25, 1978, a blonde, blue-eyed, squalling baby girl entered this world swaddled in news headlines. The Associated Press declared her a truck driver's miracle child. Good Housekeeping magazine gasped that her in vitro birth was the most extraordinary birth in human history. But historian Elaine Tyler May remembers that Louise Brown's conception also provoked deep social fears of science gone amok.
If you look back to the way IVF was discussed in 1978, people were talking about, you know, human-animal hybrids and monstrous babies and eugenics and all kinds of reproductive, scary reproductive engineering. And eventually that whole discussion calmed down.
In vitro fertilization was a medical breakthrough because it helped doctors overcome intractable problems with the woman's fallopian tubes or the man's sperm count. IVF is now commonplace. It's performed in more than 350 American clinics, which do the procedure some 40,000 times annually.
What kind of cup? This kind of cup?
Yeah.
Milk in here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The children of Patty and Alex, a suburban Philadelphia couple, are among the 45,000 American offspring conceived by IVF. Doctors never figured out why Patty can't get pregnant the old-fashioned way. There's something amiss in her reproductive system. So 5 years ago, Patty and Alex tried IVF and got twin boys, Maddie and Zach.
Come over, Dad.
Hey, Dad, I'll give me five. Look, you came in here for these five.
Patty and Alex struggled for 3 years to get pregnant. They tried a variety of infertility treatments and spent many thousands of dollars on the quest. Finally, Patty says their options narrowed to two: an adoption agency or an IVF lab.
I was on this mission. There was nothing that was going to stop me from, you know, having success. I probably would have tried in vitro a couple of times before pursuing other options like adoption.
Mom, what is this?
Once the twins were born, Patty and Alex assumed they were done having kids. They watched with pleasure and fascination as Zach developed into a dramatic, extroverted child, and Maddie became his introspective, methodical opposite. Then, after a few years, Alex got to thinking.
We have twin boys that are total opposite polar ends of the spectrum, and I'm really curious to see if we have a third child, where that child would fit.
You mean in terms of disposition?
Yeah, disposition, demeanor. And also, I would like to have a daughter.
Some couples who are infertile the first time around get pregnant the conventional way later on, but not Patty and Alex. To expand their family meant a trip back to the in vitro lab, which they took last fall. Preparing a woman for IVF means giving her daily, often painful, drug injections to jolt her ovaries into high gear. A woman normally produces just one egg each month. To better the odds for success, IVF doctors prescribe drugs that can stimulate the ovaries to produce a dozen or more eggs. Husbands or other relatives usually get enlisted to give these daily shots. But because Alex travels so much for work, Patty's neighbor Janet sometimes stepped in. Braced against the dining room table, Patty waited for a jab.
Take a deep breath. Little stick. Sorry. It's going to burn just a little bit.
Janet is a nurse, so she knows her way around a needle. And it also turns out that she's been on the receiving end herself of the very same kind of shot. Janet conceived her young son through in vitro.
When I met Janet, she was pregnant, and then I met her husband, and I sensed that they had been through the war like we had, and through this common thing.
She like key words like, oh, I waited 10 years to have this child. You know, we really tried so long. You know, this is really a miracle baby. So there's like some key words that usually.
But when I met your husband, he said we're really elated about the coming of this baby. He used this word, and he just had this look on his face. And I thought, I know that look.
Remarkably, Patty's other next-door neighbor also fought the fertility wars and also had a child through IVF. So in the space of three consecutive houses, four children were conceived in a laboratory dish.
It says to me that we're not alone. It says that the technology is getting better and better.
Well, and you had asked before about, you know, the kids. Will there be any stigma or as far as, you know, test tube baby or any of that stuff? You know, half their class will be like that.
While this neighborhood coincidence is striking, it should also be said that these families live in a relatively affluent suburb where people are more likely to afford expensive infertility treatments. Patty's first round of fertility shots last fall didn't work. Patty's eggs failed to develop properly. It was a big disappointment. So she and Alex had to wait a few months, then regroup and try again. This is what infertility veterans like Alex call riding the IVF roller coaster.
Frequently you've invested a lot of everything, your heart, your soul, your hopes, and your money. And when it doesn't work, it's very devastating.
At 37 years old, Patty was sick of the shots, which make her feel lousy, and the emotional turmoil of struggling against biology. So she thought for a while about giving up on another child. Then hope and humor returned.
I swore I would never do it again. This is it. But I don't know, there's something about it. It's going to cost you.
Well, you know,
I have to decide what really expensive thing I'm going to have Alex buy me.
So shallow.
I know.
Alex and Patty geared up for yet another IVF attempt in January. This time the shots worked, and early on a Saturday morning, Patty lay sedated in the procedure room of Dr. Martin Friedman.
All right, we're going to start on the right ovary.
Friedman is a specialist in infertility medicine. He helped Patty and Alex have their twins. Using an ultrasound probe, the doctor searched for eggs in Patty's ovaries.
Okay,
he expected to collect about a dozen.
What we're doing right now initially is just placing this needle under ultrasound guidance through the vagina into the ovary.
Gentle suction through the hollow needle captured Patty's microscopic eggs one at a time. After less than half an hour, Friedman pulled off his surgical mask and leaned in to give his groggy patient the final triumphant score.
We got 17 eggs. 17, yes. Where'd you come up with those extra eggs?
The eggs were mixed in a lab dish with Alex's sperm. A few days later, Friedman transferred 4 embryos back to Patty's uterus. Then the couple waited. 14 days later, Patty took a pregnancy blood test. She lingered at home for the call from Dr. Friedman.
It's positive. What are the numbers?
The test showed Patty was pregnant. And 5 months later, all appears well with mother and fetus. The baby is due in October.
It still amazes me that this is how we make children. I mean, we've never gotten pregnant any other way. We've done this 2 times, and both times it's worked for us. So it's amazing to me.
In the 2 decades since the birth of the world's first in vitro baby, the procedure is both widely used and still relatively unreliable, especially considering that 1 round of IVF costs more than $7,000, which patients usually pay for out of pocket. The odds are roughly 3-to-1 that an IVF procedure will fail. Doctors hope that someday reproductive medicine will be advanced enough that virtually no couple who can afford treatment will have to endure a life of infertility. For NPR News, this is Stephen Smith.